Folks, this morning as we take a look at Mark, the 9th chapter, I want you to stop and think about when you come to the movies, if you come to the movies this season or next week or whenever it is, you're always going to see a screen of the cast of characters. You know, they're going to tell you who all's in this story, everything that's going on. Well, this morning, there's about 7 different characters in this story. And I want you to see where you fit into this one of these characters. Because this story right here that we're going to read, it's a true story. That Jesus, it's not a parable. It's a story that was actually happening. And it was in his real life. And he was living into it. Jesus had just been on to the mountain. He had been transfigured by God. He was shining as bright as anything ever could be. He was definitely like Moses was. He came off the mountain, and I'm sure they could tell a big difference in Jesus. Just like Moses, he wore a veil because he shone so brightly. So as we stop and we think about how Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and while he was on that mountain, Moses and Elijah shows up. And they were so astonished and so scared and so afraid. And Peter didn't know what to do. And Peter's the toughest old dude they got. And he was just like, what am I supposed to do? And he says, Lord, do you want us to build a shelter for Moses and Elijah? He didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. But he was supposed to be sitting still, just enjoying the moment of being with God and in the presence of God. So many times, folks, when we're caught up in needing to be still, needing to just enjoy the presence of God, we're wondering, what else can I do? What else can I do? I need to be doing something else to help the Lord. Or I need to be doing something else that make him recognize me. But that's not true. We just need to be still in the Lord so many times. So many times. They're coming down off the mountain. They had been in the presence of God himself, Moses and Elijah. It was unreal, folks. You think there's not a heaven? You think there's not a hell? You think this is not real? They were in the presence of Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah had been dead for a while, hadn't they? And they had come back to be in the presence there with Jesus. So you think about it. It is real. What Jesus tells us is as real as anything that we can ever imagine. And so he's coming down this mountain. And this is where the story picks up. When he gets to the foot of the mountain, it says in verse 14, when they returned to the other disciples, now he had left the other disciples at the foot of the mountain, they saw a large crowd surrounding them. That's the first character, a large crowd surrounding them. And some teachers of the religious law. Here's the second bunch of characters. And they were all arguing with them. And when the crowd saw Jesus, there's the third character, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men, there's a character right there, one of the men that was in the crowd, spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son. There's another character, my son. He had brought his son so that you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit. There's another character, a big character, an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples, the disciples that was left at the bottom of the hill, to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. And he fell to the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. His mercy on us. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And when Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers were growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and to never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with the disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out this evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, This kind can be cast out only by prayer. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, we see lots going on in this little story as Jesus comes off of the mountain. He comes to the foot of the mountain, and there's a lot of chaos going on. Arguing, carrying on, people, and he's looking to see who's in this group. What's going on down here? What's happening to everybody? And there's the disciples in the middle of it. Here's the teachers of the religious law, the scribes and the Pharisees. They know everything. They know all about everything. So they're right in the middle telling them exactly how it's going to be. And we've got all this chaos going on. Do you ever feel like in the world that you live in, that we're living in a world full of chaos every day, every week? I mean, I do, folks. Every week I get up on Monday morning after being at church on Sunday and feeling so good about being here on Sunday and having been in the presence of God, hearing his word and having it sinks into you. And I hear this, and then on Monday morning, what do? We get up and we get back in this world, and there's so much chaos coming from every direction that you can't even imagine. And last night, we was coming home, we had to make a little stop, and there was this gal. And, I mean, she could hardly walk, folks, and she had her pajamas on, and she was just like this. And Tammy, you know, she says, you know, there's just so many people that are so messed up, struggling, you know, with so many things. The world is full of chaos at a time where it's not getting better, it's getting worse. But know this, God tells us it's going to. He's telling us what's going to happen. So when you read the Bible and you see what he's saying is going to happen, it's nothing that's really unusual. It's not really that to get excited about. I told Tammy, I said, Tammy, I see it all the time, every week, all day long. But folks, if you're not in the world, you don't see that as much. I try to make it my goal each week, one of my goals each week is to work with some people that are living in more chaos than I am. I want to try to show them that they can slow down in their life. They can actually take a little bit of this chaos and give it to the Lord. And it's no need to live in all of this stuff that you're living in. Sometimes I'm able to do that. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes they continue to go on and live in the chaos that they live in. But I try to do that. I want to help people come to know Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do. I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it at all. You might say, well, Mike, I'm sure not good at it. I'm not going to go talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Go tell them. Go tell them what Jesus has done for you. Show them in the way that you live what Jesus has done for you, because he died upon that cross. We're coming to the table today to celebrate his body and his blood. So we see that as it's all in the world. The demons and the chaos. But you know, folks, God controls every bit of it. Jesus controlled this crowd. He took it into him. He stepped in the middle of the crowd. He started calling out the people that he needed to be talking to, needed to be dealing with. The dad comes forward. He says he needs his son to be healed. And we see Jesus is saying to the disciples, you faithless people, you unbelievers, the disciples he's talking to. How long am I going to be with you? How long have I got to put up with y'all? You know, he's saying, really? I just by soon y'all go home. It's what he's really saying. Because I got no help here. You know, you're not helping me. But yet he knew that the disciples was learning. He knew they were seeing from what he was doing. And they knew that he controlled everything. He controlled this situation. He had taken these people under his wing. And he knew that he was fixing to do something to control this boy that was sick. You know, I see this gentleman asking Jesus, if you could do something for my son. I can only imagine how this man must have felt. Your son's sick. You know he's got an evil spirit in him. You know that, or maybe his dad didn't know. Maybe he thought that he had a sickness or something. But Jesus recognized it as an evil spirit that was living within this son. And he was asking Jesus, if you can just do something for him, I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. And Jesus says to him, you remember what he said? What do you mean, if I can? Folks, all things are possible through Jesus Christ. You know, there's so many times I don't understand. A lot of times when things are happening in my life, in your life, I mean, I see in everybody's life, things are happening that I don't understand. I cannot put my finger on it. It's nature, what it is. But I see people right now that have needs. I can't understand that. And I don't know, sometimes we see that Jesus is right there to answer that prayer just like that, but sometimes not. But I do know, folks, that if we come to Jesus Christ each and every day, if we come to Jesus Christ and we renew ourselves with him each and every day through prayer, through study, through relationship, growing a relationship. It's no different than growing a relationship with your parents, growing a relationship with your girlfriend, boyfriend, your wife. You have to work on this relationship. It doesn't get stronger just by just being there and showing up. You kind of got to work at it. You got to show that love to the one you live with, or the one you're with. You got to show that love, and in doing so, you're shown love back. That's how a relationship works. But what do we do with Jesus Christ? How do we show our relationship to him? How do we show our love to him? How do we ask him to grow our relationship? A lot of times, folks, we don't. We just expect Jesus is going to grow our relationship because we keep him on our mind a lot. Well, that's good. But how much time do you actually spend in the Word? How much time do you actually spend in prayer? How much time do you spend with the radio off going down the road listening to what Jesus might be wanting to tell you instead of what that fella on the radio is telling you? You see, it's so much to growing this relationship and being daily renewed. But we know God is in control. We know that because we saw that Jesus took the boy. He took that boy and he healed him. And he told that evil spirit to leave him and not to ever come back. You see, folks, this is where we're at in our life. He renewed that, he restored and renewed the life of that kid. He brought that kid to a life that he had never known before. It doesn't tell us how old this kid was. It doesn't tell us anything like that. But it tells us that this kid had this problem ever since he was a little boy. And Jesus had made this kid new again. He had restored him. The evilness had left out of him. And folks, I don't know about you. I can only speak for Mike because I can't speak for another soul here. And thank goodness, as I told Brian this morning, I won't have to, will I, Brian? I won't have to. So I can't speak for anybody except for me. But as I come and I think about this being this Jesus restoring this kid, and being there myself, and how he restored me, how he brought me back to him, how he made me whole, how he made me what I never was before. And when I stop and I think about that, there's no difference in me and this kid. I didn't recognize I had an evil spirit in me. I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. But there was. Jesus knew it, and he restored me. He brought me back to life. Folks, that's what his desire is for each and every one of us in this whole free world. He wants to restore you and bring you back to life. Maybe not life that we know it as we were 20 and when we was 18, 20 year old, because that's not going to happen. When you get nearly 70 year old, it's not going to happen, I can tell you. But I can tell you that he will restore your life and he will make you new. He will give you a life more abundant than what you've ever had. That is 100% the truth. And I know that because I have lived that. And so, folks, when I'm telling you that this kid had his life restored, I'm asking you and I'm telling you, this is possible for you. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to restore your life. Maybe you've never really got into that relationship with him. Maybe it's just kind of on your mind. You never have really made that decision to get into that relationship with him. But he can do it, and he will do it. And the thing that's the greatest of all, this world here is all messed up, folks. It's all messed up. You're not going to show me anything about this world that tell me it's good. I mean, it's good that we got friends and we got family and we can sit down and have a cup of coffee and we can, you know, share time with each other. And that's good. I'm not saying it's not. But the world in general, folks, is messed up. But God has provided for us. He has provided for us a life after this one that is not messed up in any way. He tells us there'll be no more tears, no more dying, no more anything. It's going to be perfect if we have this relationship, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, folks, I ask you today, when we come to the table, we come thinking about Jesus. We think about the death on the cross. We think about him shedding his blood. We think about all the things that he done for us. And right now, I'll tell you, every one of you, this table is open to everyone here today. This table's not Mike's table. It's not Brian's table. It's not Grace Life's table. It's God's table. That's his blood, his son's blood that was shed for us. It's open to any and everyone. So I hope if you need a cup or if you hadn't got one, you just holler and I'll get you one. Brian will bring you one. I will either one. So the table is ours. He didn't open the Bible one that day at the table that he was at that night. He didn't just say, now guys, I'm going to tell y'all, just a certain few of you is going to be able to take this communion. And he was saying, you need to be in relationship with me. You need to be repentant of your sin. You need to be where you are realizing that this is my blood. If you're not, we're going to read just in a minute some scriptures that's going to tell you. If you're not in agreement with me, then you're sinning against yourself. That's what he was saying. But he wasn't saying that it belonged to any certain person. He's saying, if you know me, if you know my that I shed my blood for you, and I shed it for you, and I shed it for you, I shed it for everyone. He says it's an open table. So, folks, we look at it and we see this. Jesus loved us so much, and he knew that he was going to the cross. We've been looking at the cross. We're looking at the cross through this Lent season, and we knew that Jesus made a turn, and he's knowing that he's going to be placed upon this cross. He has lots of suffering ahead of him, lots of suffering ahead of him. And they're at the Last Supper. And he takes that bread and he takes that wine and he tells them. So I'm going to ask Brian if he'll come. If you would, hold off on your cup until we get to the end of this reading of this scripture. I want you to hear the reading of this scripture, maybe in a way that you've never heard it before. I just want you to let it soak in, folks, as you hear this scripture being read. And as it's being read, Brian will be taking the bread, breaking it, taking the cup, and showing you. Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, he said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread," just like Brian's got it right now. "He gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone that eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sin." You see what we were just talking about, of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. "That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That's why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves. And when you meet together, I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive." Isn't that good? That's wonderful, beautiful scripture. So as we come to the bread and the cup today, we know this is the body and the blood of Christ given for you, given for each and every one. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for the cup. We thank you so much for the bread. And Father, we ask that you'll just let it be the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray that you will forgive each one of us of our many sins. We pray, Father, that you will hear our cries and you will know our hearts. And Father, we pray that as we partake, we give you so much praise for the opportunity to come to the table today. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your cups and would like to participate,
let's partake together, church. The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Praise be to God. The body of Christ broken for you, Brian, and the blood of Christ shed for you and for everyone here. Those that can, if you would, please stand. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and and the glory forever. Amen.